I'm just going to look at a little portion in the Bible, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and the first few verses. I'm from a little town just down the road, Settle direction, and I do a little bit of farming but help out here at Martin Top as well. I just want us to look at a few verses from the start of Luke chapter 15, reading from verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complaining, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now, I like how the lambing Thanksgiving service is actually in June. I think if we'd had it 6 weeks ago, there'd be no farmers here, and they'd not think there was much to be thankful for. I certainly can think back to this lambing time. We don't lamb that amount of sheep. I'm sure the Ayrtons lamb a lot more. But I can remember back to lambing time. I went to feed a group of sheep. I think it was 22, and they all had twins. Went into the field. I was counting the lambs that were coming with the sheep. That was two, that was two. And there was one that just had one. I thought, that's maybe left it somewhere. Maybe it snuffed it in the night. Let's go and have a look for it. Anyway, it was a field next to the river, so there was river banking, so I thought, well, it's probably over one of the bankings. Looked over the bankings, I spent a fair good time looking around this field, and I could not find this lamb. Until I came across it, it was in the bottom of a beck hole. This little beck, it was very steep sides, and this lamb was stood in the bottom, shivering, but still alive. I picked it out, took it back to its mother, and I actually really thought of this account of the lost sheep. Much like this account here that Jesus tells us. But why does Jesus speak about this parable? Why does he tell us, or tell these people that's before him, this parable? Is it there to encourage the farmers amongst them? Keep looking for your lamb. Keep looking for your sheep. You'll find it. Is it there to encourage the sheep that are listening in? You'll be found. You'll be found. No, it's not there for neither, really. You see, here Jesus has before him two kinds of people. Tax collectors and sinners, we learn about, and Pharisees and scribes, religious rulers. Now, much like today, tax collectors, we don't like the tax man, they were despised, they were rejected. But they wanted to be with Jesus. They wanted to listen to him. They wanted to hear from him. But these Pharisees, these scribes, they were always complaining, trying to trip Jesus up. They didn't know and understand why Jesus wanted to spend time with tax collectors of all people and sinners. But Jesus points this parable straight at them. And that's the reason he gives us this parable. You see, Jesus cares for the tax collector. He cares for the sinner. And you know what? I'm going to try and show you that he cares for you and me. Jesus starts this parable, "What man of you?" He says, if you had 100 sheep, one went missing, would you not go after that one and look for it? And when you find it, come back and have a party with your friends because you found your lost sheep. I want just to look at two simple things in this parable. First off, we have a lost sheep. A lost sheep. And then secondly, we'll look at the faithful shepherd. The faithful shepherd. The lost sheep. What do we learn about this sheep from this parable? There's only one thing. It's lost. We don't learn if it's a bonny faceton. We don't learn if it has a tight skin, a nice coat. We don't learn in farming terms that it's a top penner. We don't learn that it's a tup or a gimmer. We don't learn if it's a fast grower or a stunted lamb. All we know is it's lost. Lost. We don't know if it comes from a massive farm or a little small holding. We don't know if it comes from a good dairy farm down in the bottoms or it comes from a rough farm up on the hills of Pendle. We don't know if it's a lamb that's worth thousands or just one that's as cheap as chips. Actually, And getting ready for this, I thought, I wonder what's the most expensive sheep that's ever been sold. So I googled it. Back in 2020, there was a Texel sold at Lanark for £367,500. I thought, well, this lamb probably wasn't worth that much. But Jesus is making a point here in this parable about these tax collectors, about these sinners. Doesn't matter how good they look. Doesn't matter if they're high up in society or low down. Doesn't matter if they're tall or they're short. Doesn't matter if they come from massive houses or a simple one-room place. Doesn't matter if they eat the finest food or go for Aldi's own. It really does not matter. And you see, it does not matter with you. You see, the world out there will tell you it matters what you eat, whether you eat M&S or you go to Aldi. The world out there tells you it matters what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. The world definitely out there says what you look like matters. Jesus says no. You need to understand that you're lost. And understanding that is the most important thing. What does it mean to be lost? Well, obviously you don't know where you are. You can't find your way home unless someone comes along kindly and helps you. I can remember the first time I got lost. I'm sure you can think back to that time as well. My mum and I went with my sister to Kilts' show. And their mum was looking at some nice clothing. I'd already got a dislike for clothes shopping, so I decided to go for a wander. And so I wandered, and I kept wandering, until I realised, I don't know where I am. Don't know where mum is, don't know where my sister is. What am I going to do? I started to search all over for them. I didn't understand where I'd come from, so I didn't know what to go, where to go back to. I was completely lost. So I decided I'll just sit here and wait till mum finds me. And that's what I did. And you see, through this parable, Jesus is saying to the tax collectors, to the sinners, but to us, that we are lost. We're wandering away from God. We're going our own way. Doing our own thing, living life our way, making up our own laws, our own rules, walking our own path. The Bible's quite clear. This is called sin. A prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah, I love this verse, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We all turned everyone to his own way. We're all like sheep. We all seem to want to wander like this lost sheep does. And we've all turned our own way. You see, this sin, this wrongdoing separates us from God. God is holy. We're unholy, sinful. Just like what separates a prisoner from a free man. A prisoner has broken the law. And what separates us from God, we've broken his law. Just like water and oil cannot mix, God and sinful, unholy people cannot mix. And if nothing changes, one day we'll be forever separated from him. You see, this sheep is lost, and there's nothing it can do about it. We're lost before God, and there is nothing we can do about it. I just want us to just look at the three lostness, if that's a word, of this sheep. We see the word being lost three times in this passage, and there's three ways, in a sense, that we can be lost. First, we read of it in verse 4, where Jesus says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them? This is a being lost, loses, actively wandering, actively trying to get away from the shepherd. This is much like the sheep that goes under the fence, under the gate, jumps over the gap in the wall or the low shop in the wall. Maybe tries to jump the grid, and sometimes they make it. For us, we're no different. There are those, you may be one of them, that is actively trying to walk against God, walking away from him rather than walking to him. Whether that's going against his word, whether that's watching things that you love to watch, yet you know deep down, you know there's guilt within you, you should not be watching that. Maybe that's going out of a weekend. Maybe that's actively trying to get away from Christians.
Or maybe even you're like these Pharisees. You think you're good enough. I'm fine. I don't need a saviour. I don't need a shepherd. I'm not lost. Well, actually, that's actively going against God. Then there's another kind of lostness in this passage, again in verse 4 at the end. And go after the one which is lost until he finds it. This is a known lost. The sheep that has carried on wandering and wandering and wandering, suddenly it puts its head up. Oh, where's my friends? Where's the field I was in? And starts bleating and baring and crying out for help. Again, maybe that's you here. You know fine well that you're lost, but you don't know what to do about it. You don't know who to go to about it, or where to go and get help. We've got an actively wanting to get lost. We've got one who is lost, but wants to do something about it. And then at the end of the passage in verse 6, when Jesus calls over to, or the shepherd calls over to his friends, to his neighbours, he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost." Maybe that's you here today. This sheep has been through the two other stages and has come out of the other side and is back in the field. It should have been. And if you're one of these kind of sheep, if you're like this tonight, then you can sing with John Newton, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." But what was this sheep found by? It wasn't found by some philosophy. It certainly wasn't found by a politician. It wasn't even found by a religion. No, it was found by a shepherd. A shepherd. Seen the lost lamb or the lost sheep. Now we see a faithful shepherd in this passage. First we read about this faithful shepherd. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Now to me, when I first read this, I thought that's a bit reckless, that's a bit silly. Why would he leave 99 good sheep out to the wilderness to go after just one simple sheep that's obviously probably going to wander away again? Well, I think, I know it doesn't say it in the passage, it's a parable, so we haven't got to read too much into it. But I think Jesus would leave these 99 with a neighbour, with a friend. But what it's really telling us is that Jesus cares about the one. The single one here, the sheep that wanders away. He's cared about you. About you. But just as Jesus, or the shepherd, cares about the one, Jesus cares about you even more so. How can I say that? Because just as this shepherd left the 99, Jesus, the true, real, faithful shepherd, left the splendour, the glory of heaven, and came down to this earth. God in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh. Some say God in a skin. He grew up like you and me. I'm sure he had his good days and his hard days. And yet he did nothing wrong. The Bible says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. This perfect shepherd who had never been lost went to a cruel death upon a cross. You say, well, why? Why did he go there? You see, there, as Jesus was hung upon that cross between heaven and earth, he was dying in your place. Dying for your wrongdoing. Dying, as it were, for your lostness. And there on the cross, God's wrath, God's judgment was poured out upon Christ for your wrongdoing, your sin and mine. There upon the cross, the justice of God was satisfied so that you could receive mercy and so that you could receive forgiveness. You see, only at the cross can God show justice, but also mercy for your wrongdoing. I didn't drive tonight, but let's say I had driven. I don't have much of a desirable car. But let's say I went outside and my car wasn't there. Somebody had nicked it. At some points I'd think, thankfully, that's a great thing. But I went out there and it's been nicked. I have two decisions to make, and I can only show one of them. I can either show mercy or I can show justice. I cannot show them both. To show mercy, I says, well, maybe they needed it. Maybe they needed it more than I did. I'll let them off. They can have it. But to show justice, I ring 999, tell a policeman, and they go and try and find it. Probably don't find it. But there upon the cross, God did both. You see, your sin, your wrongdoing, justice was played out upon that, upon Christ, so that you could receive his mercy, receive his forgiveness, and have or receive Christ's righteousness. First off, he leaves the 99 and goes after the one. Secondly, the faithful shepherd searches until he finds. I think that's wonderful. As many a time I've looked for sheep, and I've looked for sheep, and I've looked for sheep, knowing it's somewhere around, and I cannot find it. And I'm looking in a field, not a wilderness. But here, what does it say of this shepherd? It doesn't say he'll go after till tea time. Till he's hungry. Till his Land Rover runs out of juice. He doesn't say, well, I'll go after for a week, for a month, for a year, for all of my life. No, he says, I will go after, I will seek until he finds. Jesus said himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, we seek and pursue what is important to us. Whether that's love, whether that's relationships, whether that's fame, often it's money. Jesus is no different. He seeks what is important to him. He pursues what is important to him. And you're important to him. The cross shows that. Thirdly, he rejoiced over the one. The shepherd rejoices. He just finds one sheep, and yet he rejoices. And he brings that sheep home, and he wants his neighbours and friends to rejoice with him. Just one sheep, and yet so much rejoicing. But Jesus ends this parable in a different kind of way. He moves from the rejoicing of a shepherd and his friends to rejoicing in heaven. In verse 7 it says, I say to you that likewise there'll be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Over one sinner who repents. Jesus is pointing right at the Pharisees. There'll be more joy in heaven over one of these Pharisees, or one of these tax collectors, over one of these sinners who repents, over one of you who does not repent. And he's making the claim they need to be found. Over one person who understands they're lost and that they can be found in Christ. Over someone who doesn't understand they're lost and so they cannot be found in Christ. We've seen we're much like that lost sheep. Maybe you're actively walking away from God. Maybe you know you're lost, but you don't know what to do about it. Maybe wonderfully, you've been found. You're that lost sinner. Well, Jesus gives us the answer of how to be found. How to be found by him. He says, repent. Say sorry. Confess to God and forsake what you're doing wrong. Have a change of mind toward God. And then it's coming to him. Trusting in what he's done at the cross. Not just believing it, but trusting wholly in him for what he has done there and his finished work at the cross. So we don't need to be that lost lamb stuck in a beck, freezing cold and not being able to get out. We can be a lamb that's found, taken to our Heavenly Father, and we can cry out to him and be found. And wonderfully, if that's the case, there'll be joy in heaven. What I want to do is just, I've got a prayer. If I've spoken from God's word, if God's spoken to you, if you understand that you are lost, like that sheep, and that you understand that Jesus is that faithful shepherd who went to the cross on your behalf, then pray this prayer in your own hearts, in your own time. I'm going to pray this prayer. And then introduce the next hymn. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a lost sheep, wandering away
from you, that my sin separates me from you. I'm sorry for my sins, and I turn from everything I know to be wrong. Thank you, Jesus, my faithful shepherd, for giving your life upon the cross for me. Please forgive me as I trust in you as my Saviour and my Lord. Amen. I'll just say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for being able to come here. I thank you for being able to look at your word. And I thank you that you are a faithful shepherd. And that when you have found us, you keep us and you take us to be with the Father forevermore. Lord, as we carry on in praise, as we carry on listening to great hymns of praise, help us just understand more about you. And Lord, if there is anybody here who has not come to trust in that faithful shepherd, would they do so? I pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.